Nehemiah, just to keep in mind the background of Nehemiah, the people are in the process of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And they're to build the walls of Jerusalem for protection. They are doing what God has asked them to do. They're fulfilling the will of God for their lives. And as they're building the walls, there is going to be some that come against them. And there, we looked at this idea. There's when we're trying to do right, we're trying to build what God wants us to do, do what God wants us to do, there's going to be those that come against us. There's going to be those that come against us when we're trying to do it. And we looked last week at these two thoughts. There's those that are without that come against us. We see that there are those of the powers to be in that area that were not happy for what these individuals are doing. They try to distract those individuals. They try to discourage those individuals. And that was the powers. That was the authorities around them. They were mocking them, as you recall. And we looked at all the attacks from without that took place. Then we also saw there was attacks within that were coming. There was those that should have been right there alongside them that said, hey, how are we going to build this? Look at the rubble we have. Look, this went through the fire, the stones, and all this that took place. How are we going to take these stones and how are we going to build a wall that's going to protect? Even if we build it, the foxes are going to get in. The walls are going to crumble. This is going to happen. And we said that there's attacks from without, but there's attacks within that happens. And those attacks within are usually those within the walls that are supposed to be helping build the walls, going against the walls. And we looked at some practical areas last week of that. We looked at the practical areas of how do the attacks come within. One of those areas we looked at was discouragement. Discouragement sets in. Discouragement gets in our individual lives. Discouragement gets in the church. How do we get discouraged? We said this, that one of the discouragement that happens in the church when people don't show up. It's when people don't show up, it discourages the pastor, discourages other church members, discourages other church attendees when people don't show up. Discouragement happens when we don't give the way we should be giving. And we hit this a little bit last week. Not that we're always preaching about money and that, but sometimes we need to hit it. We said it last week. You know, it is interesting to me, one of the discouragements that takes place is how we give. Because it shows an indication of the heart. It's not the amount of money in an offering plate. It is the indication of the heart. It shows the giving of the heart. And we said this. You know, churches, just like families, can't run on love. All right, how many have met a couple before that said, and didn't know how they were going to make it, but they were going to live on love, all right? How does that work, all right? Have you ever met a young couple, and they don't have jobs, they don't have this, and they're just going to live on love and make it work, right? Now, love helps. Let me get you. Don't get me wrong. But you've got to have some money coming in, right? Well, just as anything, the church, how do you pay the bills of the church? How do you take care of things? We have to be giving, but it has to do with our heart. It has to do with the attitude. We said, and we were honest last week. We said our average offerings are about $1,400 to $1,600 since the beginning of this year each week. We need about $2,500 to make budget. Now, God's provided. God's taken care of. But the thing is this. We need to be giving what God wants us to give. If everyone gave what we're supposed to give, no church would ever have any issues. It's plain as that because it has to do with the heart. It doesn't have to do with the money in the offering plate. It has to do with God's people being open to what God wants them to do and give. Discouragement comes. And we looked at several different areas of discouragement that sets in from within. But how do we... This morning, we're going to get back into Nehemiah chapter 4. We're going to read some verses again and get us back up to where we need to be and get into this. But we're going to look at this thought of how do we stay on the wall? We realize the attacks are coming. We realize they come without. We realize they come within. But how do we stay on the wall? How do we fight that discouragement? How do we handle the opposition, the mocking? How do we handle everything we talked about last week? How do we stay on the wall and keep building the wall? We're going to be looking at five ways to stay on the wall. Five ways to stay on the wall. If you're able to, please stand with me. We'll read from Nehemiah chapter 4. And we'll start in verse number 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, starting in verse number 4. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, And let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burden is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the works to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they shall be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and in the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, the spears, and the bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord which is great and terrible, and fight for you, brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God hath brought their counsel to naught, that we return all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spear and shields, and the bows and the hippergons, and the rulers were behind all the houses of Judah. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I pray, as we just look at these principles given in this portion of Scripture, you would just illuminate your Scriptures to us. You would encourage us. You would help us to keep on the wall. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. So how do we stand the wall? Look with me in verses 4 through verse 5. Hear, O God, for we are despised and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquities, and let not their sin be blotted out before them. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. What do they do? All of life, and as they're facing the battles, as they're going through this, they realize where they needed to turn. They had the attacks coming. They had all that coming against. And they said, Lord, hear us. Lord, we need you. If we're going to stay on the wall, if we're going to keep building the wall, and even though we have those attacks come, even though we have those individuals come against us and from without and from within, and all that's coming, and we're going to build the wall, we're going to stay on the wall, we got to realize you and I cannot stay on the wall or build the wall by ourselves. We must turn to God. We need God's help, because guess what? When the attacks come and I'm building it myself, I'm going to take it personal. How many of you ever take something personal before? All right, we all have. How many have gotten your feelings hurt before? How many you got your feathers ruffled a little bit because someone said something about you? They looked at you and they said, man, what is wrong with his head? I mean, why can't he grow hair? Look at that funny looking guy. I mean, you don't understand what I'm talking about. I mean, you look at some of the individuals in this room and you go, wow, what could God do with that person? I mean, and you hear the mocking. You hear that going against. How can you build a wall? You're not going to be able to build a wall. I mean, Brian, look at all your problems. Look at all your faults. Look at everything you got going. And you got to realize, Brian can't build a wall by himself. But look at Steve Burke. I mean, Grizzly Adams is in church. I mean, how are you going to build? How are you going to build a wall? How are you going to be able to do this? You can't do that. I mean, you look at this, and the mocking's going to come, and that's going to come. But how do we stay on the wall? How do we keep building the wall? Lord, we're turning to you. Lord, you can take care of the enemy. Lord, we need you to take care of them. Lord, hear our cry. Lord, hear us, and you deal with the enemy. Lord, we're going to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. But we're turning the enemy over to you. Do you know we got to turn the enemy over to God? We got to be prayerful. We got to be in prayer if we're going to stand the wall. And we got to say, Lord, I'm giving you the enemy. I realize the enemy's out there. I realize the attack's coming. I realize the discouragement can happen. And I realize if I'm doing it myself, I'm going to get offended in this. But Lord, I'm giving you the enemy. And Lord, I'm going to be prayerful about this, and I'm going to continue to go forward. Do you know what we need as a church? You know what we need as individuals if we're going to stay on the wall? We need to be on our knees before God on a daily, regular basis. We need to have an attitude of prayer daily through our lives. You and I ought to be praying people, not just saying we're praying people, but actually people that pray and communicate with our God and go before Him and pray before Him and pour our hearts out before God and says, God, I need you. I need you more than ever. Lord, I need your strength. I need your power. I need your help to stay on the wall. Lord, I want to stay faithful. I want to stay true. I want to stay committed to you. And Lord, I need you. Lord, the enemy's great. The enemy's coming against me. They're happening, but Lord, I'm turning the enemy over to you, and I'm not going to focus on the enemy. I'm going to focus on serving you and living for you and being faithful to you. But Lord, I need your power. I need your strength. I need your help to do it. Lord, this world is ugly. There's attacks coming from politics. There's attacks coming from this group in Hollywood and this group over here. There's those of my neighbors, and there's those that are in the family that are attacking me and mocking me and trying to get me off the wall, to try to get me from serving God. But God, I'm not going to worry about them. Lord, I'm turning them over to you. Lord, I'm not going to let my mom, I'm not going to let my dad, I'm not going to let my grandpa, my uncle, I'm not going to let my neighbor, I'm not going to let my coworker, I'm not going to let someone else get me off the wall. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to ask God to do a work in their lives, but I'm going to stay on the wall with your strength and your power, and I'm going to keep building the wall because you have commanded me to build the wall and stay on the wall. It doesn't matter we have the rubbles. It doesn't matter we have the rocks. I'm going to still do it, God. I'm going to still build it. It doesn't matter that I've struggled my own life, but God, with your power, your strength, I can take what you've given me, and I can keep on the wall and keep building the wall. The Bible tells us throughout Scripture to be praying people. It says to pray without ceasing. It talks about praying throughout Scripture. And David cried unto God. We see even Paul cried unto God. We see others, they continually went to God and asked God for his help, his strength. Many times, David, the psalmist, what did he say? He said, Lord, I'm coming to you for your help. Lord, here's the enemy. You take care of the enemy. Lord, your hand of wrath and judgment come upon the enemy. And Lord, give me what I need to keep going. Throughout Scripture, we see that. And we need to do the same if we're going to keep building the wall. And what Nehemiah was saying, Nehemiah is giving them ideas and principles. And says, you know what? You turn them over to God, and I'll turn them over to God. And we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. Now, that's easier said than done, is it not? Because we are very sensitive people. And a lot of times, we allow the attacks to hit us. And see where all the fingers are? I'm not pointing at you, I'm pointing right back here. Because we're very sensitive people a lot of times, and we take all the attacks and we allow it to affect us. And you know what? Could you imagine being one of the wall builders and hearing the mocking? Hearing this power, this person of authority saying, we hate what they're doing. We can't believe they're doing it. Can you believe even someone that was supposed to be on their side saying, you shouldn't do it? What would we do? Well, maybe I should get off the wall for a little bit. Maybe I should not build the wall. You know what? It's affecting me. It's hindering me. And you know what? I can't do it. And man, I'm trying to stay strong. But man, I don't like being called names. I don't like being told this. I don't like doing that. I don't want the attacks. I don't want that. I tell you, I want everyone to love me. And I found out not everyone loves me. Just look at some of the people in this church that were going to take tomatoes, Brother Rich, and throw them at me today. I tell you, but the thing is, we got to pray that we stay on the wall and not allow those attacks to affect us. We need to be prayerful. But I want you to see another principle given here. Not only do we need to be prayerful, not only do we need to turn it over to God, not only do we got to say, God, this is your battle, and God, we're going to do what you want us to do, we're going to stay on the wall, but Lord, we're going to trust you to give the victory. Look at verse number 9. We need to be alert. Nevertheless, we made our prayers unto our God. They prayed unto God. They made the prayers unto God. They sought God. But look at the second principle given here. And set a watch against them day and night because of them. Prayer always needs to be accompanied with work or watchfulness. Did you see what they did? Lord, we're turning it over to you. But Lord, we're going to be alert and watchful to the situation. We're going to look around us. Now, please, don't take that I'm advocating that we're looking for a demon behind every bush, because we're not, all right? I tell you, we understand we're living in a day and age where everyone is looking around and there's a demon behind every bush. This is not the idea. The idea is this, that we have to be alert to the tactics of the devil, all right? It's a difference of this. I'm fearful in the sense I'm careful of what I do. I'm not going to walk in front of a semi-truck, all right? But I'm not fearful in the sense that I am not going to ever go out of my house because there might be a semi-truck. There's a difference between the two. The idea is this. I understand there's a semi-truck, but I'm going to be alert to the semi-truck. I'm going to see the semi-truck, and I'm going to realize there's a semi-truck there, and I'm going to make sure I don't walk in front of that semi-truck. Living in the spirit of fear or a demon behind every bush is this idea. I'm never going out of my house. I'm never going to do anything because I'm going to be attacked as soon as I walk. And we are going to have attacks. Don't get me wrong. But we live in fear where we sit in there and we don't do anything. It's almost that hermit syndrome, all right? That's not what it's talking about. He's saying, all right, you need to pray. You need to turn over to me. But nevertheless, pray and watch. Watchful. Be attentive to what's going on. How many of you have known individuals that aren't very attentive to their surroundings? And those are the ones you can easily scare. You know what I'm talking about. They're just going about and you see them at Walmart and they're not paying any attention to anything going around them. And they don't even know you're there, Brother Rich. And you get behind them, and you go, boom! And they jump 20 feet in the aisle. I've never done that personally to anyone. But it's interesting to see that happen. But what does it mean being alert? It means you understand the day in which we live in. You understand the times. You understand what is going on. You understand that war can come about anytime. That we're in a spiritual battle. And the devil has the wiles, his tricks, that he's coming against us with his fiery darts. We understand what is happening and going around. And realize those attacks can come at any time. And we need to be alert to what is happening. We need to understand that the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And realize that the devil's out there. His tactics are out there. And the devil wants you to come off the wall. And we need to be watchful and alert for that. Do you know, the devil, if you're saved, he cannot take your salvation from you. But he can rob you of your joy. The devil cannot take your salvation from you, but he can discourage you to stop being faithful to church. The devil cannot take your salvation, cannot take you home in heaven away, because that is based upon the finished work of the cross of Calvary, what Jesus Christ has done, and you place your faith and trust in him, no man can pluck you out of the hand of God. But oh, he can make your life miserable. He can shoot those fiery darts at you. He can bring those there and get you to a place that you're ready to jump off the wall, not climb off the wall. You're ready to get out of the wall, get out of the work, and get out of doing that. But we need to be alert to what is going around us. What is happening there. You remember, even with Gideon, the story of Gideon, they kept going down in number. And one of the tests were that how they drank the water. And recall, how they drank the water made a difference. Why did it make a difference? Because it was those that were watchful, those that were drinking and still watching for the enemy, still looking and still seeing. That's the one God uses. And we have to understand this morning, this world is not for you. This world's against you. We must realize this morning, Hollywood is not for you. It's against you. We have to realize this morning, the politicians are not for us, they're against us. We have to realize what is happening, what is going on in our politics, in our world today. Not that we're scared to go out of our homes, but realize that attacks are coming. And we got to be alert to what is happening. So let me ask you, how are we alert about what is happening around us? How are we alert to the tactics of the devil? How are we alert to what is coming against us? We got to be in God's Word. I cannot stress this enough. The reason individuals today are not alert to what is happening around us is because we are not in God's Word as we should. Do you know the Bible lays it out what's going to happen? It tells us what's happening in the latter of the last days. It tells us what the attacks that are coming, the different things that are happening, and all that's around us. Again, not that we live in fear and never walk out of our houses. But we have to realize the enemy is there. And the enemy wants to destroy us. And we got to be alert to what is happening to us. We need to be prayerful, but we need to be watching what is going on. We got to have faith. We got to trust God. But we got to be looking and waiting for what is happening. Another incident in Scripture, when they used to go and they would glean the fields and harvest and mash the wheat and do that process, what do? And they would sleep, and they were lay watching what is happening, watching for the enemy to come. How we need to be watchful for what is happening if we're going to stay on the wall. Another principle I want us to see, you find this in verse 16 to verse 20. And it came to pass from the time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laid it, every one with his own hand wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had a sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we separated unto the wall, one far from another. In what places thereof ye heard the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. You know, what is interesting here is you see this. Half of them were building, half was ready to fight. They were prepared for whatever was happening. They were ready for the battle. Do you know God has a purpose for every one of us in the church for building the wall and staying on the wall? There are some that are to be building, and there are some that are to be fighting. There's this idea of this. We need to work together. We're going to get into another point here, being united in just a moment. But we've got to realize we all have a place and purpose within the church. And I can tell you in Scripture, there is no place for sitters. It's not seat warmers. It's not the bench warmer. You know what a bench warmer is, right? That's the one that wants to play a sport, but doesn't know how to have any coordination at all. But the coach feels bad for him, and so gets him a jersey and lets him sit on the bench. And becomes a water boy, right? Maybe you were that way, right? But God doesn't want bench warmers. You might not be able to do what this person does. You might not be able to build the wall. You might be not not be able to pick up the stone because it's too heavy. But guess what? Someone else is stronger and they can pick up the stone. But you could be helping them. You could be putting down the dirt and the mud that they did to set the rocks. You could be doing something else. You see, we all have a purpose. We all have a place. We have to realize that we all need to be working. In scripture that we read this morning, it says they had the mind to work. That means they had the attitude of what they needed to accomplish the job. They weren't afraid to get their hands dirty. They weren't afraid to get involved. If we're going to stay on the wall, if we're going to keep doing what God wants us to do and fulfill God's will, you've got to be working. You've got to be doing. You've got to understand that the devil's out there, but we need individuals to pick up the slack and say, we're going to be committed, we're going to be serving, we're going to be doing, we're going to be giving, and build the walls and stay on the walls. Then also too, as they were building, there was half of them building and half of them waiting for war. There was times that they would even switch positions to give a break to this and that. That's the idea that we need to have in our lives too. You know what? Sometimes when you get older, can you do all that you used to do? Even though your mind tells you you can your body do it sometimes? How many are getting older? How many of the simple task of going upstairs start to get a little hard on you now? Some of you, because you abused your body, you can't do what you used to do, right, Dave? And it starts to happen. How many thought you were, nothing was ever going to slow you down? And you thought you could mistreat your body any way you want to mistreat your body, and you were still going to be as strong at 90 that you were at 20, right? And then you found out something. That's the same when we're building the walls. Do you know what some people could do 20-some years ago when I first came here? They can't do what they used to do. Do you know we used to have some people that were able to do some of the craziness around here and that? I remember even Brother Dick, he still tries to do some of this stuff. But we were trying to do some things, and this is back when we built this building. And Brother Dick is not short by any means, but his body on the rafters, and I don't know if you remember this, Dick, but I remember this. He was trying to nail something, and he was like twisted like every which way, and his long hands were coming around and this and that. Could you do that today, Brother Dick? He might try to do that, but I think he would not do well at that. We all have jobs. We might have to switch jobs at time. Do you know what? There's some older ladies in here. You used to love to work the nursery, but guess what? You get on the ground with the kid, you ain't getting up off the ground anymore. All right? You know what I'm talking about, right? It's not that way anymore. I mean, you used to be able to get on the ground with them, crawl with them, and jump up and be fine. Today, you'd be going, I've fallen and can't get up, right? Please help me, someone help me, get me up off the ground here. But there's still jobs you can do. But that means the younger generation. That means other people need to say, hey, there's a hole there. There's someone that needs to, I need to fill in the gap there. And I need to help build that wall. I need to help build it and keep going. Some are warring, some are working, some are doing. Hey, I need to step up and I need to do it. You know, there's all types of needs and jobs and responsibilities in the church to stay on the wall. We got to stay on the wall. We got to keep building as a church. We need to understand tax coming, but also in our homes. We got to keep building the walls in our homes. And realize God has put your family dynamic together, whatever your family dynamic is. I understand some are husbands and wives, some are just husbands, some are just wives, some are just husbands and wife and no kids. I understand there's many different dynamics, and there's many different groups, and these people, and this group of kids, and that group of kids, and all the different things. Whatever your family dynamics is, keep building the wall and stay on the wall. Realize your role in that home. Realize your responsibility in that home. Realize what you're to be doing to help it. As the father in the home, what you're supposed to be doing as a spiritual leader in that home. You're supposed to help build the wall, but you're supposed to protect your family. You're supposed to watch out for your family. You're supposed to be the spiritual leader in that home. And realize as a spiritual leader in the home, what you need to do and how you need to lead your family, how you need to guide your family, and what you need to show your family. Oh, you need to be building the wall, but you also need to be watching for the attacks, be alert to the attacks. You need something that's going to work and something that's going to war, and you need to be ready in the home because the attacks are going to come against the home. You know, one of the most attacked areas in our world today is the family unit, is the home. It is under attack because the devil knows if he can get in the home, he can get in the church. If he can get in the home, he can get in the church, he can get in the community. He attacks the home. Why do you think all these groups are coming against the home and against this and against that? It's coming because they want to attack and destroy the home. Why do you think there's all the teachings against what God has established of a husband and a wife and all the things there? The attacks are coming against the family unit because if you can destroy the home, you can destroy everything else. And we need to realize we need to be working. We need to be warned. We need to be alert. We need to be praying. We need to be working and warring. But look at verse 19, verse 23. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. And what place is there for? Ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the works, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning to the stars appeared. As said unto the nobles, looking into verse 19, I want you to get this. And to the rest of the people, the work is great large, and we are separated upon the walls, and one far from another. Did you get that? The work is large, is great, but we're separated. And if they come against us, there's too much gap between us. There's too much separation between us. And if that happens, we're not going to be able to get back together and fight the war that we're fighting. So we need those that stand as they're building, and we need to put a hedge around those that are building. And have the spears and have that there because we need to protect that. And we need to understand there's got to be unity. Amen. Do you know one of the reasons when the mocking comes from without, the attacks come from within, and we don't want to build the walls anymore, we get off the walls? Is because there's disunity. Now, I understand we all have different ways of doing things. I understand we're all a little wired a little different. I understand we have special interests that other people think are not as interesting. I use this a lot of times. Those that want to torture the body to run, if you want to torture your body and run and mistreat your body, do it. But don't ask me to do it with you, all right? This body's not built for running, all right? I don't mind walking, I don't mind hiking, I don't mind doing that stuff, but to put abuse on your knees like that and not, no thank you, no how, and I know you can have proper ways to do it, Jamie, I know what you're thinking, and all that, but guess what? I don't need to do that, but I can still be united. I don't maybe want to do this or go to this place or like this type of vacation or like this type of thing, but guess what? I can still be united. I still have to realize there's gaps on the wall and we need to come together and we need to be closer together, working together and build one section at a time. Because as we get separated, as we're not united, I might be building my wall over here and you're building your wall over here. But guess what will happen? As I'm building over here and they're building over there, there's still an area that can be attacked right here. I might be so focused on what I'm doing and how I'm doing, and I don't care if I offend someone else. I don't care if I cause division in the church. I don't care if I do that, and then this person's doing their own thing, and then all of a sudden we have attacks that come, and we all get off the wall, and then we got a pile over here, a pile over there, and nothing's completed. That's happened in so many churches. that has happened in so many churches today. Because there's not unity. Do you know, two people working together, can get more accomplished than 30, 40 people opposing each other? Now, it was awesome yesterday. I want to thank all those that came to help get the garden done and get the rest of the, most of the vegetables off of the garden. It was awesome to see how many showed up and how many were working together. I guess I wasn't working together good enough, so they sent me to get the air compressor for the wheelbarrow, and by the time I got back, they were done. So I think they wanted me out of the equation there. I think that was Brother Rich's idea. He had his little pump, but his little pump wasn't working, so he sent me to go get my air compressor, I think to get rid of me. But we'll leave that alone, Brother Rich. But the idea is, if you look and if you need squash, side note here, that's not all of it. You go in the garage, you open the garage door and the side door, there's literally hundreds of squash out there. So if you need squash or know anybody in this world that needs squash, please take some of the squash there. There's a butternuts and the spaghetti squash mainly, but there's lots of stuff. All right, take it. But what was neat is what? There was young and there was old and in between. They worked together. Some could bend better than others. Some could lift more than others. Some could push the wheelbarrow. Some needed a two-wheel wheelbarrow, Brother Rick, and that. But guess what? Everyone worked together, from the young to the old. In a matter of short amount of time, everything was accomplished that was supposed to be accomplished. Do you know? That's the same here in the church. We look and we see the attack's coming, and we know we got to be alert to the attack's coming, and we need to get the walls up, and we need to be strong to be ready to go, and we need to be alert and be praying and be seeking God and watching God do great things, and we need to turn the enemy over to God, and we need to be working and warring and doing those things, but we got to unite together. How many ever played a game, Red Rover, Red Rover, send somebody over? Now, what is the idea there? You lock arms with somebody and you send someone over and their goal is to try to break through or break the wall. Now, if you are smart, you do not put two of the weakest kids together when you play this. Usually you play this on recess, right? You would not put two of the, now this day and age probably won't let you play this anymore because someone would get hurt. And you would not put the weakest kids. You would put some then. Usually, the bigger kid was with the smaller kid. And what would happen is the bigger kid would wrap so tight around the smaller kid, even if that kid's arm was broken off, he would still have the arm. You know what I'm saying? Because they weren't going to give in. You know what? We need to be that united, that tight, that no matter what the penetration is, no matter how the devil's attacking, no matter what it is, we're united together and nothing can break that. I mean, we're holding on so tight to one another and that you can send the armies against it and it's not going to go. Why? Because we're united. Oh, the attacks can come, the mocking can come, but we're not going to get discouraged. We're not going to come off the wall because we're going to be praying for one another, seeking one another, helping one another and say, no, this wall is going to continue. We're going to stay on the wall. We're going to build the wall and the devil's not going to get in. You know, that's what we need today as a church. We need to be united together. No matter what happens, no matter what attacks. Oh, we might not like everything. There might be some sin we have to deal with. There might be some things we have to deal with. But it doesn't mean there has to be division in the church. It doesn't mean that we need to sow seeds of discord. You know what? You might not like something, but we can still be unified together because we have a common goal. I might not like how you dress, but guess what? I can still have unity with you to serve God together. I might not like certain things about you. I might not like your personality. You might not like mine. I don't know what there's not to like about mine, but guess what? What was that? Do you forget who gets the last word? Well, I was wrapping up. Now we're going another 20 minutes. But you know what? All those things don't matter. We have a common purpose. That common purpose is to glorify God, please God, and be a lighthouse in this community. And we need to unite together, put away our personal preferences and all this other stuff that we dwell so much upon and all those other things, and lock arms together, be united together, and stand firm against the attacks that are coming our way. I tell you, if the Lord tarries and we're around another 20 years, I believe the attacks are getting even greater. Now, I'm not going to say when the Lord's coming back, because no man knows hour, no man knows time. I do personally believe it's sooner than we think. But I think Paul thought it was sooner too, so we know it's soon. And I can say this, it's sooner than it was last year at this time, all right? Did you get that, Rich? But no matter how much time we have left on this earth, if it's 2 years, if it's 20 years, if it's 30 years, if it's 40 years and you're still alive, Dave, you won't be. If you're still alive, we need to be united together. In 40 years, Dave would be 107, all right? If Dave reaches 107, we're all in trouble, all right? And we need to be united together. I tell you, my goal, I've shared this before, and if any of you are still alive when I'm 99, I want to preach my last message when I'm 99. I don't care if I know who I am, where I'm at, anything. I don't care if I'm cranky or mean or whatever. Just put me behind a pulpit with the Bible and let me preach. I want to do that. But it doesn't matter all the things, and we can have some fun and look at this, but we need to unite together. We need to be strong, because there are some times that I may personally get weak. You know what I need? I need a stronger brother to pick me up and hold me tight and say, we can get through this. Amen. We need to be united together. You know what? I see you're struggling there, and hey, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm not going to kick you when you're down. I'm going to be there to grab a hold of you, because we're united together. We're in this together. We're to serve together. We're to fulfill God's purpose for our lives and to keep building that wall and stay in the wall. And I see you're slipping off the wall, but I'm going to push you up that wall. I'm going to help you to stay on that wall. I'm going to get behind you and support you and give you the strength that is needed to keep you on the wall. And that's what we need as a church, to be united. The last principle we're going to give, and I wasn't going to do this one until someone said something, so now I'm going to do the last principle. I was going to do it anyways. This wraps us all together. We need to be determined. Look at verse 6 and verse 23. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And then verse 23. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. They finished. They built the wall. The wall was joined together because the people had a mind to work. They were determined to finish the wall. I don't know about you. I've gotten tired before in life. How many of you have worked so much physically that you've just gotten exhausted, and your mind keeps saying you can go a little more, but your body says no way. I mean, you go into your bedroom and you don't even want to take off your clothes and put on your night clothes, and you just plop on the bed and you pass out. You're just that exhausted. I mean, you're that worn out. You're that tired. And I think this is what happens sometimes. This is what the Bible says. Do not become weary in well-doing. And I think some believers have become weary in well-doing. And what has happened is we've gotten exhausted, not just physically, but we've got exhausted spiritually. I mean, I tell you, we're building the walls and we're going forth. But man, the attacks, we were able to handle them in the beginning. And we were able to handle them before, and we're united at this time and that time. But man, we got to be determined, no matter how hard it gets, to keep on keeping on till the Lord takes us home. And we can say, I've fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I'm going to finish to the end. I'm going to endure to the end. I'm going to run the race with patience and endurance that is set before me. And I'm not going to quit. I'm going to start strong and I'm going to end strong. I'm going to finish and be determined to build a wall till everything is joined together. There's no gaps. There's no problems. The wall is secured and up. And that's when God takes you home. Because you finish what God has had for your purpose in life. Do you know, as long as you have breath, God still wants you to keep building the wall. As long as you have and I have breath, God wants us to stay on the wall and build the wall and finish the wall. If he wants you off the wall, he'll take you to glory. But as long as we're here, we got to finish. We got to be determined to finish. We got to be committed to finish what God has called us to do. You know why people have gone off the wall? Because they're not determined to be committed. And they get weary. And they said, well, I've done this for so many years. It's someone else's turn to do it. No, you still have to stay on the wall. Your job may change. Your job might not be picking up the boulders and sending them upon. Your job may be something else, but you're still supposed to be building the wall. Be determined. Be committed. You know, one of the biggest reasons people come off the wall is they waver in their commitment to God. Because they don't love God the way they should. And they start to waver. And they start looking at this person and that person and everyone else around and saying, well, at least I'm doing more than that person. Or I'm better than that person. No. We're to work together, help together, and be committed ourselves, determined. We get distracted so easy today. We laugh at people that this idea of squirrel, you know what I'm talking about? They're talking about something else, and they start talking about something else, or they're talking about something, they look over here. How many driven with people, they are driving straight, and they look at something, the whole car turns that way and goes that direction. And because they're watching a deer or something that way, and boom, the whole car goes. And, you know, that happens. Do you know, one of the reasons we get distracted is because we're not committed and determined to stay on the wall. And we get distracted by everything going around us. And the devil wants to get in and distract you and distract me. And then we get busy doing our thing, and we're not building the wall. We get busy about our families. Now, our families are important, don't get me wrong. But if I love my family more than I love God, the Bible says that's not where we should be. God comes before our family. Now, if God comes before our families, we're going to love our families the way we should love our families. That goes hand in hand. But when I put my family before God, there's a problem there. When you get distracted by my job, I want to tell you, jobs are important. You got to have jobs to pay bills. You got to have jobs to be able to tithe. You got to have jobs. I understand all of that. But guess what? If you have jobs and your job is more important than God, there's a problem because we've been distracted by our job and we're not staying on the wall, building the wall. I understand we have sources of entertainment, and I don't believe it's wrong for you to enjoy certain things. I think we all need that rest. I think that's why that principle is in the Word of God about having a day of rest. I think that is important for us to understand that concept and that idea there. We need to have enjoyments and rest and relaxation to a point in that. But let me tell you, you know what I think has happened? We've allowed our entertainments, our rest, or whatever you want to call it, and it's taken the place of God. And we've come off the wall. We're not committed. Now, some of you need your beauty sleep. Some of you need more beauty sleep than others. Some of you, I don't understand this, you need 12 hours of sleep. I don't get it. Some of you need 7 hours of sleep. Some of you need 4 to 5 hours of sleep. That's, if you get REM sleep, all you need is 4 to 5 hours of sleep, by the way. And you can function and be just as crazy as someone. That's all you need. But the idea is this. Sleep is not bad. Rest is not bad. But we have allowed our laziness, if you will, to keep us from building the wall and come off the wall. And we've all been there. I don't know about you, but I battle sometimes. I'm going to be honest, as a pastor, even Sunday mornings. I'll be honest. There's some Sunday mornings, and those that know, I usually get here way before anyone ever is here. That's just the way I'm wired. And I'm here early. But I'll tell you, some Sunday mornings, I get up and I look at my clock and go, maybe I should sleep just a little longer, just rest here. I'm not really sleeping, but I don't want to get up. Huh, what would happen if I showed up half an hour before everyone else comes? No one else would even know if this and that. And we start to wait a second. And I'll be honest, and please don't take this as me patting myself on the back. But if I did that, it would take away from the time I come early and I pray. Wait, it's coming off the wall. We got to understand, God wants us to not allow that to get in the way of serving Him and doing those things and coming off the wall. We got to be determined and committed. One that comes to my mind is a guy named Asa. He went from faith to failure, back to faith, back to failure, back to faith, back and forth, and ended in failure. He was starting strong, and he got off track. He got right. He got off track. He got right. He got off track and never got right. And he ended with disease of his feet. It's in the Old Testament. Study it out. Because he wasn't committed and determined to finish. Church, we need to keep building the wall. We got to stay on the wall. And it takes every one of us to do it. Amen. We need to be praying. We need to be alert. We need to be watching. We need to be working. We need to be determined. And we need to be united together. Amen. And build the wall. Heavenly Father, we love you.